In this episode, I'll talk about rider balance, horse balance, and how to improve both when each is taking the other out of balance. I'll also relate this to improving body work and movement dynamics. So here we go, episode 263, Chickens and Eggs. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, everyone. This is the part of the episode where if I did this podcast with a partner, we would do some like lively pre-show banter or something. But you don't get that. You just get me rambling on about stuff. What can I ramble on about? Well, I can tell you I have just ever so been enjoying my horses. I know I always enjoy my horses, but I just have to say out loud, they're so stinking cute in ways that just blew my mind. Every single day. Oh my goodness. It just was a fun week. Atomic, his little chronic injury kind of flared up, which always makes me sad, but I do all my stuff. I do the beamer, I do the laser, I do the ice, and I do little things with his hoof to help relieve some of the strain. Anyway, sometimes that can take a couple weeks, but it got better in just a few days, so I'm super happy with that. He looks more comfortable and he's out and about. And my Cora is just the smartest little girl in the whole world, and she is so gorgeous. And I was playing with her Liberty the other day. David Lichman actually was visiting me and was, oh, let me go out and just play with Cora a little bit. And she and Teo were out in the main area. It was in the late afternoon, which they're not used to me playing around then. But she and Teo got so pumped up. And it's just out in the huge, like, 15-acre main area. And she would just, like, prance and gallop away. And then she'd come running back even faster than she left. And Teo got all pumped up. And usually when Teo's pumped up, he's just too emotional and he just runs away. He can't deal with anything, but he stuck around, which is sort of amazing. And anyway, they put on quite the show, and it's just so fun to be with them with that high energy in such a big space. And they just were gravitated towards me without me really asking. I just would send them away to go do something and they just keep coming back. And that was super fun. So that just made me giggle. And what else also made me giggle with Cora this week, she's developed a little pattern, and well, I'm starting to get to know her better, and she really wants to go faster than I tend to go, very methodical, and take my time and baby steps. But she's hilarious because I've been riding her out in the field to begin with and just doing some relaxed trotting and cantering out there. And she does it for a little bit, and then she's like, okay, it's time to go to the arena. And she just gravitates into the dressage arena, and she feels like she gets in there and then relaxes. And the more I do specific patterns in the arena, the more she relaxes. It's like it satisfies her brain. And sometimes when I just ride around, she's like, well, what are we supposed to do? What is this? What movement is, ah. And it's just interesting. It's just how her brain works. And it's a lovely thing once you realize that's just how her brain works. And then I can use that information to help her become more relaxed, or, you know, to free up her mind, or, you know, whatever. But it's just so fun when you have a young horse, because, well, every horse, you're always discovering something about them. But, you know, as they develop into these adults, you know, their brains are changing and their bodies are changing. And it's just really fun and interesting to see who she's growing up to be. Anyway, And I could go through each one. Every single one is just totes adorbs. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. The other big happening this week has been our new and improved video classroom, which was a huge undertaking to migrate over to this new platform. And we did it. We did it. And we did our part. And then we went through, we were ready to launch it. And then we went through two, almost 3 weeks of just weird tech glitches that were beyond our control. And anyway, we got through them. It's all fine and it's working great. But man, that was a wee bit stressful. So it was actually full of very mixed emotions because on the one hand, I went through every single video in the video classroom and I had to look at it and pick a new thumbnail and, you know, check the description and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was able to reacquaint myself with that huge body of work and, it just feeling so proud about it. And looking at me in 2010 and like, oh, so young, the long brown hair. And then went through all the years where like my hair was really short. And then there's 1 year I just had really bad haircuts. Anyway, and then it was long again. Then it was short again. Then it was not brown anymore. Anyway, it was a labor of love. But so now we went through that process. We went through the tech glitch process. And last week we actually, you know, announced it and people are migrating into it and it's very, very exciting. And so far the reviews are in and people who have been in the classroom, in the original site have just been like, oh my gosh, it's so much better. They can find what they're looking for easier. They just want to go click on everything. They can tell immediately what they've watched and what they haven't watched yet. The search works really well. Anyway, so that makes all the effort so worth it. And yeah, I feel like I'm just starting to like relax into the knowledge that it is working and it is done. Oh, it was very stressful. Riding horses is so much more relaxing. Riding the most intense horse is still more relaxing than doing that kind of stuff to me. Anyway. Okay, so let's get into this episode. So this, let's see, in a recent email, which some of you may have gotten if you're on my email list, I think I sent it out over the weekend, I was talking about how precision can lead to relaxation, right? And so if you've been listening to me, you know I talk a lot about the value of playfulness and the value of experimentation in training and in teaching. And sometimes we do need to set up some parameters and really test the precision, right? So I'm much more on the free spirit side of things. And I have to remind myself, you know, sometimes you got to really measure and you got to really be precise because otherwise, how do you know how you're doing? Now, of course, when you start getting precise, for some people, when you just walk in the dressage arena, you start to freeze up or get rigid. This is what's so funny about Cora, because she actually relaxes, that there's a relaxation in the confidence of like, oh, we're going down the long side. Oh, it's a circle, right? Like she knows. And actually, I narrate and tell her what we're doing. And I swear she's learning the verbal cues for haunches in, shoulder in. Anyway, so there's this possibility that precision can lead to relaxation, right? But it's when you think precise, you start thinking, oh no, I'm closing all these doors, then it's easy to freeze up and get rigid. And it can be a real challenge to be precise and stay flowy. Of course, it's also a challenge to stay flowy without just wandering all over the place. So the thing to remember is that precision is not about rigidness, and it's not even about restriction. So precision is really a game of finding the narrow path through which the energy can flow. And if you do this well, it helps you find balance. And balance brings more ease, relaxation, and flowiness. But you've got to do it with that intention. I've got some big news for you, and this is brand new news. The Dressage Naturally video classroom has officially moved to an entirely new platform, and honestly, it is so much better. After 16 years, all the behind-the-scenes tech integrations holding the old site together finally decided to stop cooperating. So instead of patching it again, we rebuilt the whole experience. And now it actually feels more like Netflix than old-school membership sites. It's dramatically easier to find exactly what you need. You can browse by common things people are working on, like low energy horses, or tension, or crookedness, engagement, lateral work, partnership, and so much more. And, now this is something I'm really excited about, I'm adding live community calls where I'll do some teaching and then give you a chance to connect and interact with other riders in breakout discussions. And somehow, it's going to be all the same price, just $29 a month. Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. And because you're a podcast listener, I want to do something really special. If you start your membership before June 20th, you can attend the very first live call, and you can lock in a special celebration discounted rate of just $20 a month for as long as you stay subscribed. Now that's actually the same price that the original classroom was back when we opened it in 2010. Head over to dressagenaturally.net/classroom and use this code 20monthly. That's 20monthly. And that locks in your membership for just $20 a month. Now, if you're already a member on the current original classroom platform, your subscription will automatically end, and in order to keep access to the videos, you're going to have to set up a new subscription on the new website. Now check your inbox for emails that'll explain more of that, or just email us with any questions. But remember to use the code 20monthly to get your subscription at the lowest possible price. I can't wait to see everybody in the classroom and welcome you all on the live call. Okay, back to the pod. Right. So in that way, precision is a doorway to balance. And balance is the key to relaxation. Okay. So in this email where I talked about just that, I also linked to a video in the new video classroom. And I'll put a link to the particular video I'm talking about in the show notes. And so it was a video called Alignment on a Circle, and it was an exercise riding where I coached several students through this particular exercise. And then somebody commented on it and asked a question, and I answered it. And I thought that that question was an important question to ask and was worth spending a little bit of time with. So here I am. All right, so the video was about achieving more precision on circles, and it was about a 12-ish meter circle. I think it was bigger than 10 meters, maybe not 15, something like that. And I set up markers at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. So it's pretty precise, like you got to stay in between these markers. And I played with different horses in different ways with different focuses depending on what they were doing. And so one of the riders I was coaching, and I was focusing on number one, just the line of direction. And so what happens is when you get a horse to really hook on the line of direction, they will start to make it easier for themselves by aligning on the circle. So without talking about bending or without asking for a horse to bend, they become more aligned on the circle when they understand what to do and they're motivated to do it. So this horse and rider tended to drift out a lot. They tended to drift to the outside. On this clip, they're going track right, so they're drifting to the outside. I can't remember if they drifted to the left in the other direction too, or if it was a mirror image. Doesn't matter. Stay focused, Karen. Anyway, so they're going track right, and the rider's drifting out to the left a bit. And the exercise I have them do is to stay on the circle without using their reins. And then once they get that, I have them alternate between taking a connection with the reins and then dropping the reins and taking a connection with the reins and dropping the reins, and have it not change the harmony of the line of travel. So it's a really favorite exercise of me, where it really prioritizes the seat connection and the focus, and then proving that the reins are secondary to that. They really don't have much to do with the steering, ideally. And then when the reins are there, you can just think about the connection and the circuit of energy. And so what you can see is the horse would drift out a little bit and they'd correct, and we keep talking about this. And what the person, the student who watched the video, left a comment, and they're like, hey, I can see this rider is sitting off to the left. Like, why wouldn't you correct that first? Totally valid question. And my answer is like, yeah, you could. You could do that first. So I thought, yeah, that's an interesting choice as a teacher. I made that choice and I stand by the choice. Not that you couldn't get to the same place by approaching from a different angle, but I thought that this was worth describing and talking about a little bit. So this is where the title of this podcast episode comes in, which is chicken or egg, right? So is the horse drifting to the left because the rider's sitting to the left? Or is a rider sitting to the left because the horse is drifting to the left? Is it purely a body balance thing? Or is there a little bit of a communication piece in there? I don't know. All right. So if we look at just physical misalignment and you know, let's say that they're inanimate objects. So like they're not alive. It's like a bunch of blocks in the shapes of the different parts of a human's body. There's like a block for the pelvis, a block for the rib cage, a block for the head. And, you know, same thing with horses. You can think, okay, we got to be able to stack the blocks. Like there's one piece of creating alignment, which is going to involve putting the blocks in a position where they're balanced. And just as inanimate objects, there's nothing holding them. They can literally just stack there. That's one way to look at it. Now, the other way to look at it is, you know, they are flesh and muscle, and we can do things like physical therapy, right? You can do different exercises. So if you put it back in a dressage point of view, it would be things like, you know, precise use of lateral work, right? So lateral work, one of the purposes is to create straightness, right? So you can do different exercises that require that the body moves in a certain way that will, you know, loosen the tight things and strengthen the weak things. And by doing that prescriptively, asymmetrically, you can start to create symmetry. And ideally, if the horse and rider aren't able to do it by themselves, you could have somebody very, very balanced who does the physical therapy for the horse while the rider is off on their own doing their own physical therapy. And so then they come back together and each one of them is more aligned and more symmetrical. And then the two symmetrical things come together and now they're symmetrical. Right? So this can work. This is true. This is a perfectly good strategy and a part of the process. But I want to talk to you about how we, as sort of mere common mortals in our less than symmetrical bodies, who maybe, you know, don't have access to putting their horse with somebody perfect while they do physical therapy to become perfect. So I want to show you how we can get you know, at least 80% where we want to go, and do it in a way where we can make sure that that last 20%, when we really get refined and get that last bit, that it really sticks. And I mean, this is such a big subject, so I'm really dumbing. Again, this is another subject where I'm like, I feel like I'm going to talk like a caveman instead of, you know, there's people who know a lot more about the body and how it works and the very precise little angles that different joints need to be at and how to do their body. And shout out to Anna. Anna, if you're listening, you know, who's helping me with my body, you know, you can get really small things. Can make big choices, and it's really good to be precise with some of these things. But I'll just talk like, you know, who I am, which is a caveman out in the field trying to help people as best they can. And the truth is that even if the bodies each become perfect in their individual alignments, there's still something else happening that we have to address. Because we still need the skill of keeping center of gravities connected and underneath each other in motion. We still need the skill of communication with our horse, right? It's not just a thing you put a quarter in and it moves and you got to figure out how to balance with it. We need to be able to communicate. There's an emotional piece. So even with excellent physical rehabilitation, it can all go out the window if your horse is confused by your aids, or if you aren't able to keep your own balance on a nimble, bouncy horse that has ideas of his own. So when I see a horse and a rider pair who are out of alignment, especially in a clinic situation where I have to make a meaningful and powerful impact in just a few days, so I have to make some choices. And here's what I often do. I think to myself, what is the cause of the contortion? Knowing it's always kind of everything. But is it mostly coming from the rider? Is it mostly coming from the horse? Is it mostly coming from a pattern of disharmony between the horse and a rider? And I also try to look at how unhappy is the horse? How unhappy is the rider? So in other words, is one of them getting more upset than the other? And that gives me a good clue as to who to help first. So if the horse is super unhappy with the rider, then that's a case where we need to take the rider by themselves and make some improvements, right? So standing still in the saddle, or get off the horse and do something, maybe lunge lessons on a different horse, some sort of physical therapy or body work, right? That's going to be really important if the horse is like just irritated, right? They're like, get this is so unbalanced. This feels horrible. Like, let's remove it. There's a threshold. Maybe the rider is super unhappy with the horse, right? So they get frustrated. The saddle keeps slipping off, right? So I've experienced this. You're riding, I ride all these other horses. I get on the one horse and the saddle keeps slipping off to one side all the time. And it's frustrating. And you have to, do I stop all the time? Or do I have to get off and fix it? Or do I just scooch it over? Do I just keep riding in this crooked saddle? All right, so that would be a case where, like, if the rider is a perfectly fine rider and they're just getting super, it's hard to deal with. They're unhappy with the horse because something is going on with the horse. Then we need to take the horse and go, okay, something weird is going on. Let's take the horse by himself and let's try to get some improvement. Maybe we're doing groundwork or body work. You know, again, a posture exercise, standing still. Maybe it's a lameness exam, et cetera, et cetera. So there's definitely cases where it's clear. It's like, we got to separate. Got to separate the two and figure out whoever's bothered the most. Like, let's separate and let's see if we can make some progress to remove whatever the other one is getting bothered by. I think that's a sound strategy. However, there's this range where things are definitely out of alignment, but it's sort of good enough, happy enough. And if I think that the imbalance could be caused by a pattern of disharmony, meaning confusion, brace, emotions, etc. Then I want to find a way of bringing more harmony in. And we're going to go there. We're going to say, okay, there's lots of stuff you could do. You could go do physical therapy. We could go do groundwork for 6 months. But I think we're in a range where we can sort this out with both of you right where you are. And so that's where I want to try to break the cycle of conflict or the cycle of confusion, the arguing, the repeated things that keep coming up, like the horse is constantly bulging over there, constantly bulging over there, or emotional, they're constantly focused on trying to get back to the barn, or, you know, the rider's constantly afraid of something the horse is doing. Like, so that's what I mean by a cycle of conflict. Like, let's, if we can make progress there, then we're going to open up some doors. So if that cycle of conflict is the cause of the crookedness, then addressing it sooner rather than later is going to make some pretty huge improvements. And those improvements can allow a circumstance where the finer, more core imbalances can then be addressed more precisely after that, right? So, but I can't expect to use precise gymnastic exercises if they're leaning and fighting each other. For example, this is an extreme example, but I can't help a rider find a refined posture of ease if the horse keeps trying to run back to the barn and his herd mates, while keeping in mind that absolutely, the horse might not be able to do something if the rider is imbalanced. So this is where it really is a team effort. And I go, listen, horse, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're in a good enough range. All right, so let's take what we can do and try to get it working better. So conflicting aids or aids that aren't working are such a huge source of contortion, right? So like, international symbol for I wish my horse had turned is usually the rider's upper body and both hands all on one side of the neck, if I exaggerate. Like, that's a contortion. Or if you're asking your horse to leg yield or move, you know, say it cuts in on the circle and then you put your inside leg on to ask the horse to move out, perfectly reasonable. But when that leg aid doesn't work and then you have to grip, whatever leg is working, it's going to tend to pull the seat and the balance of the rider over that leg, which now pulls the horse even more in, right? But you can tell that rider to sit in the middle, but if the horse keeps falling in and they have to use leg because the leg isn't working, now they're contorted, it's just going to pull them right back again. So, you know, if I saw a horse or a rider who was sitting to the inside, and the horse was falling into the inside, you could look at it and go, well, clearly the horse is falling to the inside because the rider is sitting to the inside. But chances are the rider's going to be like, well, the horse is falling to the inside and I'm having to use my leg and I can't sit to the outside because I keep using my leg. So it's one of those, like, you know, sibling rivalry things. So in the end of at the end of the day, we have to be the adult in the room and go, okay, I'm going to be responsible for breaking the cycle. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to maybe think about the communication and think about clarifying some things. And you can do that without punishing the horse. So I know some people are like, but it's not the horse's fault. You know, what, by me saying to get rid of the conflict and to help the horse do what he's asked to do, doesn't mean you're punishing for him. It just means you're going to really put some focus into it. And so that's what the exercise in the video was. We're very laser focused, very precise. And you can see on the video a horse who sort of drifts a little to the outside, the rider sitting to the outside. The horse's ears are forward. It's staying calm. It's making the corrections of going back to the inside. And it's like this little puzzle that they have to figure out together. And that's the sort of thing that I felt like would have the biggest impact. So, and, you know, then when we recommend, like, hey, you know, make sure your saddle's in the middle and make sure, you know, go get some body work, think about your position, make sure when your horse is going with ease that now you move back to the middle of the saddle and you're not stuck over there just of habit, all of those things are going to happen so much more easily if the horse is hooked on the circle, because they mentally know that that's the game. And because we've been using pressure and release and reward in a very wise way, the horse goes, "Ooh, I know the game. Sure, I'll do that. Stay between the markers." And because they're willing and they know what to do, they're going to start putting their body in a position to help, which will be aligned, which will be easier to sit. So it's not that we don't think about our position and just blame the horse or make it the horse's thing to fix, but we also don't just think about our position without taking into account the quality of the communication and the level of harmony. So when looking at any process, it's so easy to look for a second and see the things that aren't working. Right? But then we have to choose one. We can't fix everything. So we have to choose one to start with, and there will still be others that we have to address later. So, you know, in that video, I mean, like I said, the student's question was a really valid question. Obviously, I'm talking about it now. In a video, we can only show one little clip. We didn't show what was happening before, and we didn't show what was happening later or the next day. But it's a really, really wise thing to see, because she was probably in many of also of you watching the video be like, "Well, why didn't you do this? Well, don't you need to do that?" And the answer is always, yeah, there's many, many ways to get to the same place. So I think that's a really great way to be looking at things. What am I seeing? What else could we do? Right. And that's what I'm doing as a teacher. So we try to find a reasonable doorway in. Right? That's okay. We see the problem. What's a reasonable doorway into the solution? And often once you get into that doorway, other doorways start to open, right? And what we want to watch for is if we take our best guess and we try a door and it doesn't work, it doesn't open. So we rattle the door a little bit. It still doesn't open. We start pushing on the door a little bit. Still doesn't open. Let's not start kicking the door down. Then maybe we try a different doorway in. All right. So if we try this exercise and it was getting nowhere, like, how do you know? If it takes a long time, nothing changes. You don't even get like a hint of like, "Ooh, that's where I'm going to go. That's what I got to aim for." If it starts feeling harder, if the horse starts getting upset where he wasn't upset before, things like that. That's the same, you know, in the analogy of like you're rattling the door and you're shaking it back and forth and you're starting to kick the door. Like, don't kick the door. Try a different door. Perfectly, perfectly valid. So that's the chicken or egg. Do we talk about the horse? Do we talk about the rider? Pick one. But, you know, that idea of like, what's the source? Take a best guess. Who is getting more upset? Is there somebody getting upset? Or can we change the movement dynamic? Anyway, that's what I chose in that video. And I think this is the similar kind of thought process and wondering when you have a horse that needs body work. They've got this here or that there. Out of alignment or tight muscle over here, that I feel like I want to make sure they're, again, in that good enough. Are they good enough to give an attempt to find this harmonious movement dynamic in their body? Can they do it? Can they understand what to do? And can they be able to do their best job at it, their best attempt at it, in a way that leads to a more harmonious connection with me? And then if they're understanding it, they're willing, and they're doing it, but they still kind of travel with one hind leg a little out to the outside or something, then it's like, okay, there's the peace. The rest of the body is in ease. The mind is in ease. Now when that body worker comes in and makes that adjustment or makes that change or releases that thing, it's going to stick so much better. So when do you need to do body work first? Well, if you're doing the exercises like I teach, which should lead to ease, like my exercises, all the basic ones, like, should lead to more freedom of movement. If you're doing those exercises, exercises and the horse can't, doesn't have a range, particular range of motion, seems to be more irritated at the moment where it should be released, then there's a reason. And we need to do some body work or something in order to be able to get the movement dynamic. But so many times that I hear from students, and I've experienced myself, that body workers or chiropractors kind of marvel at like how open the horses who do this work are to the adjustments, how easily they can release, and how the adjustments and the body work really goes in. It lasts. You can imagine, you can get your horse all nice in their massage and their adjustment, and then if you go out and ride them and fight with them, it's going to put it right back in if you have that same conflicting movement dynamic. So chicken or egg, do you need to do the body work in order for them to do the movement, or do they need to get a better movement dynamic that will break the cycle of conflict, that will allow the body to move with more ease and be in more alignment, and maybe it needs a little bit of help also. So there's no one answer. It's all good, right? We need everything, ideally. But in the work that I do with dressage naturally, it's so much of it is therapeutic. The basics of it is therapeutic, that it really can work really well with body work. And the same thing, like the example of the rider in the video, it wasn't about her applying more aids to try to get the horse to be bending and stay on the circle. It was working together with the horse to have them participating more, which will free up so much more ease, which will then allow the rider to adjust their position, which then will make it easier for the horse, which will make it easier for the rider, which will make it easier for the horse, which will make it easier for the rider. Chicken egg, chicken egg, chicken egg. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email, or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.